short of 120 years ago, in the New York Sun, an article was written in response to a letter by a little girl named Virginia O'Hanlon. I think you know what this is about, guys. In this little girl says that there are friends of hers that say that there is no Santa Claus. And the gentleman here, Francis, I gotta get this right, because Farsalius is one you want to double check before you say it. Francis Farsalius Church wrote the response. Everyone knows the line, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus." In it, we hear him say, "Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except what they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they are men's or children, are little. It is a great universe of ours that man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect. And compare with the boundless world about him, its means of intelligence is incapable of grasping the whole truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly in love and gentleness and devotion exist. And you know that they are abounding and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. You might listen today to the readings and think that there's something amiss. You might have heard in this translation, you think you might know where I'm going if you hear me emphasize translation, from the book of Isaiah, quote, "Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son." That phrase is a difficult one. You see, the word that in Hebrew for young woman could also mean unmarried girl and could also mean virgin. Now, you might want to ask the question. This is obviously its original translation. That's why they did it like this. But in truth, the authors and the translators and the scholars in the 20th century who did this translation were being at least politically correct and probably dodging a controversial bullet. And they went with the least offensive translation. For a Jew who would pick up the New Revised Standard Version, this translation of the Bible, would read that and comfortably sigh and say, "Oh yes, it's a story about somebody, but not necessarily Jesus." This began to be a controversy when the church grew. An old college professor, a seminary professor of mine, used to say that the Mormons were God's gift to mainline Christians so that we would know how the Jews feel. It's a good joke if you think about it. Someone who takes the Christian story, and I believe that Mormons are Christian, but who take this sort of interpretation that has been standing and runs with it and goes somewhere else. And that's what the Jew feels like when he looks at us taking Isaiah and saying, "Oh, this is Jesus," and we run with it. And they get a little chafy. The interpretations have been since the time of rise of Christianity that is simply a young girl. But look at the text. It begins with Isaiah looking at Ahaz and offering to give him a sign of the truth of his oracle, his message. And he says, "Ask for something as high as heaven or as low as the bottom pit of hell." And he's going to tell him, "Here's my sign. There's a girl who's going to have a baby." Girls do that. Young women do that. Not a big deal. An unmarried woman is going to have a baby. Not a particularly impressive thing either. But that a virgin would have a baby. Now that would seem to match the fanfare of a sign that would come from highest heaven to lowest hell. Now, Hebrew doesn't give us the clarity that we need, but 200 years before the birth of Jesus, there were Greek translations that we still have in existence called the Septuagint of the Old Testament, these Greek translations. And Greek is far more nuanced. And the word that they use in this passage, in this ancient pre-Christian text, is not young girl, is not an unmarried woman, it's virgin. And lastly, I would even point to the gospel today. Because in the Gospel of Matthew, we have someone writing to a Jewish Christian congregation, telling them the validation of their Messiah in Jesus, using terms of the Old Testament. When you read Matthew, time and again, Matthew wants to harken back to the Old Testament, like somebody dropping names. And that's just like what happened inside the prophet who said so-and-so. And that's like a prophet who said so-and-so. The people he was writing to knew the story from the synagogues. They knew it from the translations and the stories that were read inside of their place of worship that was still Jewish. And he pitches them using a message that doesn't come as a shock to them. How could you interpret it that way? But as one that they would recognize and say, yeah, I remember that, a virgin. We live in a skeptical age. And we heard this gentleman here talking to this young girl, talking about, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Because what he does is he hearkens to the intangible things. Well, let me hearken a few intangible things for you. The story of Joseph is not so remarkable that there's this idea of a virgin who gives birth. Feet on the streets would have been shocked that Joseph would have continued to go ahead and marry her. And if we want to think that maybe this was a later adaptation, there's more subtle things. In the Gospel of Mark, for instance, people raise the question of Jesus' paternity. He goes to Nazareth, and in the earliest translation, earliest narratives, they say things like, hey, isn't that Mary's son? To a Jew, they would say, isn't that Joseph's son? So they were saying a little slur to him. We're not quite sure who your daddy is. There's something going on there that this woman has a birth that wasn't just Joseph. And Joseph risked his life because they would have stoned him along with her for allowing an adulterous woman, perhaps, to go unpunished. It comes from Matthew, who wrote this story and faced death and died because he believed it. The proof is inside his devotion and his fealty to a message that he could have just walked away from, but he refused to. That message is validated of this virgin birth of the King that is Christ, and all the people who have found to this day and have died, willing to go into the Colosseum to the lions, or whether it's in Egypt last week when the cathedral of the Coptic Church was bombed. People who are willing to face down ISIS and die rather than refuse Christ, because in their lives they know that it's true. Because they've experienced in their lives that Jesus is more than just a pretty story to make children feel better. That it's something that they stake their lives on, that will risk their lives, and they'll even give up their lives for. Yes, St. John's, there is a Messiah. There's God amongst us. The most stupendous thing that we can take away from that message in Isaiah is not a virgin birth. The most stupendous thing we take away from that, the aspiration of humanity from the dawn of time to have God amongst them, Emmanuel, happened. It happened in that little manger, and we'll celebrate it next weekend. The coming of this child who makes the chasm between God and man disappear. That's something that is as high as heaven and reaches as low as the bottom pit of Sheol. It makes it all good. Yes, St. John's, there is a Messiah, a Son of God. His name is Jesus. And let's come back next week and celebrate the birth of a child from a virgin. Amen.